Welcome to What's About Florida, a monthly discussion program tackling the key topics of interest to the state. I'm Lynn Hatter. 4 years ago, Florida voters approved a constitutional amendment attempting to stop political influence in the once-a-decade redistricting process. But since lawmakers drew new maps in 2012, those maps have been mired in lawsuits. The Florida Supreme Court recently ruled against state lawmakers in the congressional map, ordering the legislature to redraw 8 districts which they say favor a political party or the incumbent. Meanwhile, a challenge to the state Senate maps is gearing up for a court fight as well. So can lawmakers be trusted to draw electoral maps? That's ahead on It's About Florida. The Florida Supreme Court's ruling against state congressional districts is sending lawmakers back to the drawing board. Literally. Lawmakers have about 100 days to come up with a new congressional district plan for what will be the third time. But will it be the charm? Katie Swatowski reports.
A lower court's ruling last year did not go far enough to change gerrymandered congressional district maps, according to the Florida Supreme Court in its own ruling Thursday. The Supreme Court gave the Republican-ruled Florida legislature exactly 100 days to draw the maps again for what will be the second redo. The congressional maps in question were drawn in 2012, then ruled unconstitutional in 2014, and then redrawn. Now lawmakers are being sent back to the drawing table yet again to reconstruct 8 districts and their affected neighboring districts for violating an anti-gerrymandering amendment. That constitutional amendment prohibits districts which benefit incumbents or political parties. Senate President Andy Gardner's office would not respond for comment. Gardner is still reviewing Thursday's ruling with attorneys and is expected to release a prepared statement to senators sometime during the week of July 13th. The president of the Florida League of Women Voters, Pamela Goodman, rejoiced at the ruling. The league has been actively pursuing changes to the maps that it says don't fit the anti-gerrymandering amendment approved by voters.
I can only say that the Supreme Court has ruled sunshine in this state on redistricting is just as bright as the sky as I'm looking at. We are thrilled. This is a huge victory, not only for the state of Florida, but for the country. It sets a precedence of transparency.
Political scientist at Florida State University, Charles Berrio, concentrates on Florida state and local government. He says the 8 districts that need to be redone will restructure one main type of political environment.
They're very urban, kind of Democratic-leaning districts, and so it should lead to a reapportionment of the seats there. That'd probably be more beneficial for Democratic interests, I believe.
House of Representatives Minority Leader Democrat Mark Pafford believes the Republican majority has used redistricting to circumvent the system of democracy to maintain power. Pafford says because of this, the new maps may not fix the problem of unconstitutionality.
I don't necessarily expect this process to produce maps at this point that are constitutional.
To remedy the cycle of drawing one gerrymandered map after another, Pafford proposes a nonpartisan solution. Get the legislature out of the map-making business and instead
putting together an impartial committee to draw these lines, get it done once and for all, follow what the letter of the law, in this case the Constitution, says, and get it done.
Republican Representative Jimmy Smith of Inverness, Florida, disagrees, however. Smith thinks that redistricting is not going to be a problem to go through again and believes the legislature will improve over its prior performance.
Once again, we have always learned through the process by, well, unfortunately, trial and error, that you figure out how to do the process better. So this will definitely provide us the impetus of doing this better next time.
One of the politicians who could be affected by the new district lines is Democratic Congresswoman Gwen Graham from North Florida's District 2. Proposed maps indicate that Graham would no longer represent the Panama City area, which leads to the question who would. One possible answer is conservative Congressman Jeff Miller of the District 1 seat. Miller currently serves the Pensacola area. The 100-day limit to remake the maps puts lawmakers under the gun to convene their second special session of 2015, sometime this fall, to make the maps constitutional before the 2016 election cycle. And for now, the Florida Senate district maps that still remain in question of gerrymandering are not on any schedule to be heard by the Florida Supreme Court. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Katie Swatowski in Tallahassee.
A coalition of groups sued the Florida legislature over the maps, and the Florida League of Women Voters, which backed the Fair Districts Amendment, has led the charge. The organization has been a watchdog of sorts on voting issues, and it says it's fully prepared to keep the fight for fair districts going. As lawmakers prepare to rewrite the congressional maps, the state is still facing a lawsuit over the original Senate plan, which will head to court soon. Pamela Goodman is the new president of the Florida League of Women Voters. Welcome to It's About Florida, and thank you so much for taking the time out to speak with us today.
Lynn, thank you. It's a pleasure.
So you are the president of the Florida League of Women Voters, and you all just scored a pretty significant victory in the latest round of the back and forth over the state's new congressional maps. And it seems like at least 8 districts will have to be redrawn, and that will affect the majority of Florida's congressional delegation. Can you talk a little bit about this ruling and what does it mean moving forward?
The 8 districts, all 8 districts, the Supreme Court agreed with us were unlawful. And not only the 8 districts, but as you said, any districts that would be involved regarding or in the neighborhood of those 8 districts would also have to be redrawn. So what you're quite possibly looking at is almost potentially the entire state of Florida's congressional districts being redrawn for the 2016 elections. It was quite a landslide decision. Additionally, the Supreme Court and not only declaring that almost the entire state needed to be looked at, they also said we need to do this in a very short time frame. They have 100 days, the legislature, to get back into special session and to accomplish this. Certainly to make up for many of the mistakes that they made in the past, the Supreme Court strongly suggested, demanded that they do this in a very transparent process with all records being kept, meetings being open to the public. And all copies of maps submitted by both the legislature and anyone else be submitted to both the trial court and the Supreme Court for final review.
This all stems from, as you mentioned earlier, 2 constitutional amendments that were adopted by voters in 2010. We know them colloquially as the Fair Districts Amendments, but what did they mandate and what did voters say when they voted to adopt those rules into Florida's Constitution?
So those amendments, basically, before those amendments, the lawmakers had no standards whatsoever in drawing districts. And Florida was one of the most gerrymandered states in the country. The League has been fighting this for over 40 years. We recognized this as a problem over 40 years ago when we first began as an organization in the state of Florida. And it's been continuing with both Democrats in power and Republicans in power. It is definitely been a nonpartisan issue when you look at it from a League's point of view. So what these standards did that were passed overwhelmingly by over 3 million voters back in 2010 is they put standards. They said that a district had to be contiguous, that it had to be compact, that they had to use natural geographic boundaries like county lines, cities, lakes. A district couldn't bounce over a river and bounce around 3 counties, which we had before that. And most importantly, that a district could not be drawn to benefit any specific political party. So that's what led to the Supreme Court and for us having the Supreme Court look at 8 districts in this case.
So obviously the first rewrite of the congressional districts didn't work, and now we are entering into rewrite number 2. We heard a lot during the first process when the legislature went back to rewrite those districts. We heard from Democrats who said we weren't allowed in, or they came in with a plan already done. Was that part of the decision that you guys made to challenge those rewritten districts?
Oh, definitely. That's it. And once again, it wasn't only the process before that decision, but Yes, when they went back and redrew those two districts, it was done very, very, very quickly. And they were under a tight time constraint, but it was not done with transparency. It was not done in an open conduct at all. It pretty much followed the same procedures that they had done originally when they had drawn the first maps. So it was time to really be a stronger voice of the people, take it to the highest court in our state. And for anyone that has a doubt in our democratic system or that our system is somewhat broken, I have to say that this case is really an American civics lesson. It's really why our forefathers set up the three branches of government, plus you, the fourth estate, journalists. It's the checks and balances on one another. And we commend the court system, but most importantly, the Supreme Court system for making this decision that they did yesterday. And now, what will be the difference? They are on a very short leash. Look, they took the legislature to the woodshed yesterday. When you read the 187-page opinion, it is very, very strongly worded from one branch of government to the other. They use language. Judge Perrienti, who wrote the opinion, and by the way, it was an overwhelmingly strong opinion, 5-2. In our favor. But very strong language was used in the opinion about the conduct of the legislature. And because of that, they have made very strong recommendations on, once again, every meeting involving these maps must be public. Records must be kept. They must all be sent to both the court and the Supreme Court.
Shouldn't the legislature be the entity that draws the voting lines for itself? Should the elected officials be the ones to continue drawing those lines? And the reason I ask that is because in that opinion, the Florida Supreme Court cited a recent opinion by the U.S. Supreme Court about Arizona's commission, which is, I believe, independently elected. It is outside of that legislative process.
Can lawmakers really be the entrusted portion of government to draw districts that inherently protect their jobs, can protect their own jobs? It is somewhat like the fox guarding the hen house. And many states across the country, as I said, beyond Florida, are struggling with this. Arizona had a redistricting commission, and they took that to the federal Supreme Court because typically in many states, it is stated that only the legislature is the mandated body that draws districts for both the state Senate, House, and Congress. And the federal Supreme Court ruling came back and said, no, that does not have to be the case. Independent redistricting commissions can be lawful, can be used in states. Of course, it must be mandated. In Florida, for instance, a redistricting commission would have to be mandated in our state constitution. That would require either coming from the legislature or coming as a citizen initiative before the voters and becoming an amendment to the Constitution. But certainly our lawmakers in Florida have made this an option that we would not be responsible citizens if we did not pursue that option.
So does that mean you all will pursue something like an independent commission?
It certainly is on the table. Right now, we're in active litigation on both this case, the congressional that we just got our opinion on. But we do have following right up from this in September, the Senate maps we also have appealed, and those arguments will be held starting September 25th. And so we need to get through that piece of litigation and get correct maps done for 2016. So that is our highest priority right now. But I would say that an independent redistricting commission is high on our list of priorities for the League of Women Voters to look at and to pursue in the coming months and years.
Let's talk about the Florida Senate. When the legislature originally redrew those maps, it had to redraw new ones for the Florida House, the Florida Senate, and obviously our congressional delegation. The congressional challenge came first, and I have a two-part question. Why was the congressional challenge first, and then why is the Senate challenge coming now?
Well, the congressional challenge came first because it was the most egregious map. It was extremely obvious when you looked at that map that a lot of the standards that we talked about earlier, contiguous, being compact, using geographical borders, it was most obvious that that map had the largest portion of areas that did not comply. So that is why we addressed that map first. The Senate, we have several issues with as well. And the House map, we are not pursuing. The House, when they redrew the House map, they actually followed the mandates quite closely, and we were pleased with that.
What problems do you see with the Florida Senate map? And how is it that one chamber, you say, followed the process properly, and then the other chamber, you say that the process went awry?
Well, I'll try and answer both questions. First, what is wrong with the Senate map? Exactly the same issues that were the problems with the congressional maps. You have districts that just do not adhere to the standards that are in the Constitution. You have districts that are obviously drawn with political party majority intent in mind. You have districts that are drawn that are not contiguous, not compact, and, you know, they cross over geographical borders. So a lot of the same instances that you saw in the congressional maps.
We've been speaking with Florida League of Women Voters President Pamela Goodman about the most recent court ruling invalidating Florida's congressional district map. Now back to the conversation.
How is it that one chamber, the Florida House, followed the process in a manner you all agree with, and then the Florida Senate, which is right across the hallway, literally did not?
That's a good question. Of course, you know, both the House and the Senate have different leadership, and the leadership are the ones that really oversee the redistricting process every 10 years. So I wasn't there. I wasn't part of the map drawing. I wasn't part of the committees that did that. So I really can't answer that personally. But obviously, it did happen. We're pleased that the House did do their job in the way that was mandated.
How do you see this playing out? Is 100 days enough time to redraw a congressional, well, 27 congressional districts? It seems like when we did this the first time, the legislature had basically several weeks. So is 100 days enough time to do this?
Well, Lynn, you know, I would answer that question and say, is 5 years a long enough time for us to get appropriate districts? I guarantee you that our lawmakers and our legislature have looked at maps that they know follow the mandates of the Constitution. They have had 5 years to look at this through numerous court cases. So the fact that they have 100 days now to do this, I guarantee you it can be done.
Redistricting occurs every 10 years. You all have spent the past 5 years in litigation. With respect to these congressional districts, they would have been redrawn probably three times before the next redistricting cycle begins. Are you concerned about confusion being present, given that in another 5 years, as you pointed out, we're going to be doing this all over again? You know, will we ever see the cycle of litigation begin to break?
Well, certainly with the congressional case, we have run this up the court system as far as it can go. So this is really the end of the line for the congressional maps, assuming that they come back and the Supreme Court approves them. And of course, you know, no one can predict the future, but we are assuming that the lawmakers will follow, you know, the highest court in Florida and the mandates in the Constitution this time around. As far as the Senate case, Who knows? That may have to be carried forward to the Supreme Court as well. But I think what all of this, as I said earlier, leads to is that obviously this system is not working. We are lucky to have a court system. We are lucky to have another branch of government be a watchdog over this branch of government. But it's not working. We cannot afford taxpayers' dollars, and we really can't afford the money to be spent in constant litigation with our own lawmakers over clearly what has been mandated by over 3 million voters and placed in our Constitution. So there has to be another way. And as I said earlier, we would be irresponsible citizens and irresponsible organizations if we did not start looking at alternatives, and now alternatives that have been blessed by our U.S. Supreme Court for the redistricting process before we get to the next round, which will be in 2020.
What do you say to people who don't follow this as closely and are wondering, what is the problem? How do you break it down and say this is why this should matter to you? What do you tell people to answer that question? Why should this matter to, you know, the person who works at the coffee shop? Why should this matter to someone, you know, who has probably more things to do than to follow politics so closely?
That's a really, really good question. And I know that this does not seem like a sexy subject. And for those of us that have been working on this for, you know, years, we understand that the typical voter probably, you know, doesn't really care and doesn't really understand. But I'll tell you why it's so important. It's so important because it is the root of our democracy. It's the root of voting. Every single citizen has that right to cast a vote, and that vote should count. They have a right to elect people that represent them. What happens when we have districts that are drawn by lawmakers that protect themselves is that lawmakers are essentially choosing their voters. They are drawing districts that protect their jobs. So in essence, a voter's vote doesn't count. That they're right when they say, does my vote count? No, it doesn't. That's why this is so important and such the essence of our democracy. So for the person that, yes, is tuning in and or is reading the headlines today across all of Florida, which this is breaking news, they're saying, you know, why is this so important? Why does this affect me? It affects you because your vote is important, and we want to make sure that your vote counts. And making sure that we have fair districts, making sure that we have people that run in fair elections, that we have fair, clean elections is extremely, extremely important to every single person in this country. It affects you in your daily life. It affects you as an American citizen. And something like this is really at the root of it.
You know, you talked about people having the ability to choose the people who are going to represent them. One district in particular is one represented by Congresswoman Corinne Brown, and she has said repeatedly that her district actually represents her, and her district is one of those, you know, weird winding districts. So in the case of Congresswoman Brown, I mean, people are casting these ballots for, you know, people like the congresswoman and the other congressmen and women who represent Florida.
That's true. And Congresswoman Brown, she has, through all this litigation, has consistently said that her district, if it was to be changed, would be in violation of the Voting Rights Act. And that is completely false. Her district is one of the most gerrymandered districts in the state. It runs north to south. It has none of the components that I listed earlier. It is not contiguous. It breaks up. It's certainly not compact. It does not use geographical borders. And it certainly does benefit one specific political party. What the Supreme Court recommended in their opinion is that that specific district be changed to run to an east-west district. But however, even running as an east-west district, it still does protect that minority, it's called stacking and packing, that minority vote, and is not in violation of the Voting Rights Act at all.
Let me ask this question, because this is something that I quite frankly, I don't understand. If we are drawing districts to make them fair, is there also a need to protect minority voters? If you make something geographically compact, that doesn't necessarily mean that the minority voice will be represented.
That's true. But once again, inherent in the standards that are placed in the Constitution, nowhere in there does it say anything about minority voters not being protected. So the Voting Rights Act is still strong and is still in place. And many people are confusing these standards that were placed in the Constitution back in 2010 with the Voting Rights Act. They are two entirely separate pieces of legislation, and both protect that portion of our voting population.
So how do you find the balance between the needs to have something that is geographically and sound versus the needs of the minority vote to be accurately represented? Because it seems that you have two different things kind of running counter to one another here.
Not really. Not really at all. Once again, the Voting Rights Act is a strong piece of legislation that protects that segment of our population, and it is not going away. It is there. It's in the courts. If anyone were to look at districts and address it or argue it, I think that they would have a hard time, and they have had a hard time, fighting it against the standards that are written in the Constitution from Amendments 5 and 6. These standards that were written for Amendments 5 and 6, let me say, were supported by a large number of organizations, and from the very formation and throughout its placement on the ballot and then the passage and the voting, as I said, in passage into the Constitution of over 3 million voters, was not only spearheaded by the League of Women Voters. It was supported by La Raza, a Hispanic organization, Common Cause, another large civic organization, and the NAACP.
What do you say to sitting lawmakers, sitting officials who are already considering, you know, their political future now that, you know, you have two maps, the Florida Senate and the congressional maps that are pretty much going to be rejiggered? Obviously, you have sitting lawmakers who might not keep their seats.
I would say if you had done your job correctly the first time, you wouldn't be being jittery right now about what seats you were running in. If this job had been done correctly 5 years ago, lawmakers would know exactly what their districts were, and they would have known them 5 years ago. So I actually have absolutely no sympathy for any of them. This was their job. It was their job only to draw these maps. They had strong standards to follow that they did not. In fact, they actually became, as I said, more cloak and dagger and more egregious in their behavior to protect their positions. So, am I sorry that their districts are changing and perhaps they don't know who their constituents are going to be and that they're going to have to perhaps, you know, actually run against somebody that would give them a run for their money and actually have a very combative or competitive election. I say, yay, that's exactly what we should be having in Florida. That is a win. That is a win for the voters. And if they had done this right 5 years ago, they wouldn't be sitting in this position today.
Well, Ms. Goodman, thank you so much for taking the time out to join me today on It's About Florida.
You're welcome, Lynn. It's a pleasure.
Always. Have a good one. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks to Florida League of Women Voters President Pamela Goodman. You've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. I'm Lynn Hatter. Taylor Cox provides technical assistance. Please join us again next month for more discussion on the issues impacting our state.